St. Augustine once said, "There are many God has that the church does not, and there are many the church has that God does not." Very insightful, isn't it? There are many God has that the church does not. There are many the church has that God does not. This is St. Augustine, born in 354. And so this is the early time of the church. And that quote came to me as I was engaging with this gospel reading to try to share some thoughts with you this morning. And let me talk a little bit about this reading, and I'll kind of use that image a little bit as we enter into it. This is the story of the prodigal son. And, you know, if you're like me, sometimes when you hear something a lot, you can't hear it anymore. Does that make sense? You know, you sit here, you opened up the program this morning. Oh, the prodigal son. Go ahead, Candy, go read it. Yeah, I'll get, you know. It's almost like we have a preconceived understanding. Oh, it's the prodigal son. I know that one. There's a father, two sons. One does this one. And that's how we hear it. But I'd like to invite us to engage with it a little bit. That's kind of what I did for the last couple weeks as I put some thoughts together on this reading. And I'd like to share some of those with you this morning, as inviting you to engage with this as well. So we know the story a bit, perhaps. But it's important to see how this reading begins. Who's the audience? Who is this being told to? It starts out with Jesus is associating with tax collectors and sinners. That's what triggers this. And the scribes and the Pharisees are observing this, and they're not happy about it. Jesus is doing something that is outside of the law. It's outside of church. It's outside of the law that we follow. And so the scribes and the Pharisees have a very difficult time with this. And they're challenging Jesus on this. And so typical of Jesus in scriptures, Jesus doesn't always give an answer to a question. But rather what Jesus does is tell a story, tell a parable. It's not so much that Jesus tells us what to think, but tries to lead us to learn how to think. And he's a master at telling stories of parables. And today is one of those stories that he tells. So keep in mind, I would suggest that this parable is being directed to these scribes and Pharisees who are part of their rich Jewish tradition. The church has them. But we see in this story, does God have them in their life? So the story is that about a father, and many would suggest, some disagree, but some would say that the father represents God in this story. And there are two sons. And the younger son goes to his father and says, "I want my inheritance." Pretty presumptuous thing to say to your father. Or your family. Imagine you approaching your family saying, "I want my inheritance now." Either could be because I don't trust the way you're going to handle it, or for whatever reason, I want it now. And what's interesting is the father gives it. And the story is told that the young son receives his inheritance. He goes off in another country, and it doesn't go well. He blows it. All his money is gone. He's looking for work. He finds a job in a pig farm. And for the telling of this story, for the scribes and Pharisees hearing this story, you know, for a Jewish person to be around pigs was just considered so unholy. This is not about North Carolina barbecue. This is another thing in the story that, you know, he's reached rock bottom. And the scribes and the Pharisees can identify with that. Oh, my God. Yeah. And the son realizes he just hits bottom. Hits bottom. And he's driven to that, and he realizes he has to do something. And he says, you know, "Let me return to my father, because even the hired hands who work for my father do better than this. I've blown my inheritance. Hopefully I can return to my father." And the scene is of the Son returning. And think about this image. This is a powerful image. The Son is returning. And the Father is not standing there at the end of the road, seeing the Son coming, just standing there like this, looking, saying, "So you blew it. So now you want to come back." He doesn't treat him like that. The story is, the Father sees the Son, runs down the roadway to meet the Son and embrace the Son. There's a great painting by Rembrandt called The Prodigal Son. It's an image of the Son, of the Father embracing the Son. And spiritual writer Henry Nouwen has a little book on The Prodigal Son, which is his reflection on that painting by Rembrandt and also a reflection on this gospel reading. The Son runs out to meet him. So hold that image for a second. So in the meantime, the older son is working in the field, doing what he feels he's supposed to do. He's committed. He's loyal. He loves his father. He's doing what he has to do. So he's doing what he has to do. He's in the field. The father then brings the younger son, walks him home, and says, as you hear that phrase, "My son has returned, kill the fatted calf, get the best robe, put sandals on his feet, put a ring on his finger." He's joyful that his son has returned, and they start to celebrate and have a party. And it's the older son in the field who comes in at the end of a day. You can almost picture him coming in at the end of a day, hardworking, sweating, and he hears this party going on. And he is furious when he hears what this is about. The father says, "Your son has returned." You know, this son who he's embraced, who probably still smelled like the pigs, who probably is tattered and worn. And the father embraces him and brings him into the house, and they have a party. And the older son just can't handle this. What's interesting, what's sometimes missed in the story, I think, as I've read it, is the father then goes to him. The father reaches out to him and says, "You know I love you. You know I care for you. But this son has come back and returned." He's actually gone out to both sons because he cares for both of them. But this is not an easy family moment. And the story continues, and the story kind of ends in a way that we can almost kind of go, where does it go from there? What happens after this? But the thought that struck me, and this is the first time this struck me, and I offer it to you this morning as perhaps a different way of seeing the story. Strikes me that wonderful scene of the father running out to meet the son who's coming down the pathway. It's a beautiful scene. It's worth painting. But what struck me this time is that the father is running to meet the son alone. He's going there alone. No one else from the household seems to be with him. No one else is joining him saying, "He's come back. Let's all go down and greet him." It's the father alone who goes down. I don't know, I don't know if it's a fair interpretation of the story, but that's what struck me as I've tried to engage with this reading. The father is there alone. And so in this season of Lent, that image sits with me in a way. Are we members of the household? Are we members of the church? Hopefully God does have us as well. As St. Augustine says, there are many the church has that God does not. You know, what happens sometimes is in all religious traditions and in church life is we sometimes turn our religion and our church experience into God. And sometimes we just don't allow ourselves to open ourselves to God. That's the whole idea of community of faith, is to lead us to the holy. And that's the challenge. And hopefully we are. So my reflection is, where in our world today is God running down the roadway to care for the downtrodden, to care for the poor, to care for the oppressed, to care for the imprisoned, to care for the refugee, to care for the immigrant, to care for those who perhaps are not part of the household, but are at the perimeter, at the edge, they're there. And God, I'm convinced in this story, God's there. And God is running down that roadway. And where are we? You know, where are we? Hopefully we too can be running down that roadway with God to encounter those beyond, to be transformed in our own lives as well as transforming others. So during this season of Lent, I just offer that reflection. It's I'm still working with it, and it's still trying to nourish me, but I hope that's a fair image of this God who's calling us to not just run down the roadway embrace, but saying to us, come with me. It's what Jesus continually says. Come follow me, walk with me, be with me as I walk to the tax collectors and the sinners. Don't worry what the scribes and the Pharisees say. Don't worry about what others say. Come with me, walk with me. Let us walk into the fullness of life that Jesus calls us to.